The title for my sermonette this morning is Giants of the Bible. Now, who is your favorite character in the Bible? The person maybe you look up to, maybe you consider to be someone who you would want to be like a hero. I'm sure we all have that person in the Bible that we kind of look up to. The Bible is obviously full of these type of people, the ones who did amazing things. These are often the ones who are talked about, say, in Hebrews 11. These are the people who had powerful impacts on the people of their time, but they actually have powerful impacts on our lives today. But these giants of the Bible were people like you and I. They were flesh and blood. They sinned. They had their moments of weakness. We know that the only person that was ever perfect without sin was Jesus Christ. God is looking for an attitude in each of us. He is concerned about the people that we become. You know, each of the people written about in the Bible is done so specifically and purposefully by him. You know, we have the records of these people. We have some of their thoughts, some of their words. We don't have the full context of their lives, but we have the general outlines. It helps us to build the bigger picture, helps us to understand their stories. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 to 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 10 to 13 says, breaking into the thought here, "Nor complain, as some of them complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So the Bible is telling us that these stories were written for us. They were written down for our encouragement, for our admonition, for us to take record of and to take into our hearts and to understand. We are all here, sitting here this morning, not by chance, not by circumstance. We haven't waltzed in the door by accident. We are here because God has purposely called us. And each of us have the opportunities to stay or to walk away. Each of us can make that choice. And we do so on a daily basis. You know, when we start to compromise, start to turn away from the truth in whatever fashion, it usually begins slowly. A little slip here, a little one there. And then it continues, and it happens over and over again. And the sad fact is that none of us are immune to this. From the ministry on down, we all sin. We all allow wrong thoughts or concepts to separate us from God. It gets to the point where we have to understand that we cannot live as Christians without God, without him leading and directing our steps. Think about your life over this past year since the last feast. I'm sure there has been severe and very hard trials in your life. I know that there's been them in my life. But this is needed for character growth. But as you think about it, you have to ask yourself the question, what have I done? Have I gotten through them? Even if it feels like just barely. And the answer, because you are sitting here today, is a resounding yes. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," things that were coming in Paul's life, things are coming in our life, "nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Paul encouraged the Romans to never even entertain the idea of giving up. He was so convinced that these brethren were going to be able to withstand with anything that was going to come that he put it down in writing. He was sure that they were not to be removed from having the use of the love of God in their lives. But in order to do this, we need the strength of Christ. If you will, turn to Isaiah 11 and beginning of verse 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 11 and beginning in verse 1. It says here, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him." It's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. He delights in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This power that Christ used, that rested upon him, is the same exact Holy Spirit that dwells within each of us. So these things that are said about Christ here can be applied to us. It can become our guiding light and our power. But it will not unless we fully turn and allow Christ to work in our lives, to allow the power of God's Holy Spirit to lead us. Now this fully happens right when you get baptized and you don't have to worry about taking care of it the rest of your life, right? How I wish it were that way. It takes a lifetime of learning, a lifetime of deciding to continue to follow after God, to choose about going and having a continued relationship with God. In Romans 8 and verse 12 through 15, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." The scripture holds so much meaning and power for us. We're told that we have to be living by the Spirit. It's the only way to properly live in line with God's way of life. And just as our children, and we expect our children to obey rules, so we are expected to obey the Father's rules. Now, Christ called God his Father here. And we are told to do the same thing. And where it says Abba Father here, in Scripture it means, in Greek, Father. So he's saying, Father, Father, It's a very intimate relationship that he's coming to God with. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." We are in the literal position of being the sons and the daughters of God. We haven't been born again as spirit yet, but our mindset has to be as such. It's how we have to see ourselves when we look in the mirror. And how we think about ourselves plays a large part in how we act, how we behave. In John chapter 17 and verses 6 and 8, Christ says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me." You know, either we believe the things in the Bible are true and faithful, or we don't. We can't believe one day that God is there to help us, and then a trial hits, and then we don't believe. But it's also interesting to me that these things play into this idea of these stories being written in the Bible. You know, did the people of the Bible know when they were living that their lives were going to be preserved, that they were going to be written down? Do we know that our lives today, right now, are being preserved and written down as well? In Psalm 56 and verse 8, David says, "You number my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" In the opening night, Mr. Link read Revelation 20 and verse 11 and 12. It talks about the books of life being opened. This Bible that we read is a living document. It continues to be open to us. Prophecy continues to be revealed. God knows all things. But he wants to know us more intimately. And this comes from us. This comes from our desire for him, for a deep and real relationship with him. We know that we are supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Brethren, we have the opportunity as first fruits, just like the giants of the Bible who lived their lives, we are living our lives now. In Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, it says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." They were not made perfect, meaning they have not yet been raised as immortal God beings. That time is coming. And it's a time that we each hope to have a part in. But brethren, we can be assured that we will become like those listed in the Bible. The future is out in front of us, but it's not easy to get to. We should all know what is out in front of us, what is in store. But we should also be aware of the impacts that we have on ourselves, on others, and on the world as a whole. It will become quite evident in the coming days where each of us stand in relationship with God. What is it that we want to be known for? And we have this feast as an opportunity to think about these things, to ingrain them deeply within ourselves, so that we can become those people that God needs us to be, the new giants of the Bible.